from John's Gospel, chapter 10, John's Gospel, chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. John 10, 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, and the man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep." I am the good shepherd, Jesus says again. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, and I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Father, you are kind and you are strong. And so your goodness, we know your goodness is not, it's not soft, but it is fierce. And so as your sheep, we want to know you and hear your voice. We confess we can't live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears and our minds and our hearts that we would receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Ooh. Yo, that's a powerful scripture for me, and it got me. I don't say it got me, he got me. How many of you rely regularly on a GPS system? You plug in your address to Google Maps or to Waze, and we love that. I do too. There are multiple cases, you know this, there are multiple cases where drivers have followed the exact GPS direction and it sent them the wrong way. I read the story of a person in Brussels, Belgium, who got out one morning to go pick up a friend from the train station. They knew the train station was north of their home, but the GPS said turn south. And they followed the GPS. They didn't stop when they saw signs. They're in Brussels, Belgium. They didn't stop when they saw signs for cities like Cologne and Nuremberg, which are in Germany, not in Belgium. And they kept driving. They stopped and refueled twice, pulled over and took a nap, and didn't stop and turn around until they entered the city limits of Zagreb, Croatia. Y'all, pull up your map sometime after church. That's like the other side of Europe completely. Sometimes GPS directions can take you the wrong way. Sometimes they can take you straight into danger. There was a man in New Jersey with his family in the car. A foggy morning, he approached a T intersection where the only options were to turn right or to turn left. The GPS said, go straight. And he did, and he jumped the curb and drove 100 more feet into someone else's house. Straight into danger. Or the three women visiting Bellevue, Washington. They were out well after midnight. The GPS said this was the road to the hotel, so they turned, but the road was actually a boat launch, and they drove straight into the lake. The GPS system wasn't malicious. It wasn't intentionally trying to harm them. It was just plain wrong. It was just plain wrong. And the unsettling part is that people trusted it enough. People trusted it enough to let it override their own observations, and they staked their lives on it. And y'all, we know this is a moment that we live in. This is not just a funny story about GPS. It's about so much more for each one of us. Because we're surrounded by voices. We are surrounded by voices who would take the place of the Good Shepherd. We are surrounded by voices, by influencers, by algorithms, by politicians. Do I get an amen? We're surrounded by voices not only on the outside, we're surrounded by voices on the inside. Our own instincts, our own ambitions that want to tell us, this is the way. This is the way. Some of them aren't necessarily trying to destroy you. Some of them are. Some of them aren't necessarily trying to destroy you, but you're going to follow the wrong. If you listen, you'll go the wrong way. Some of them will lead you straight into danger because they're just not the good shepherd. They're not the voice of Jesus. And if you follow the wrong voice long enough, no matter how sincere that voice is, or no matter how sincere you may be in wanting to listen, if you follow the wrong voice long enough, you will end up somewhere you never meant to go. In John 10, Jesus says it, I am the good shepherd. So friends, the real question for us this Sunday, for many of you, the real question is this. Not do I believe in Jesus, the good shepherd, but who is actually calling the shots? Whose voice is speaking to me? To whose voice am I listening and making the decisions that shape the trajectory of my life? The question is, who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Because you may not know this. You're already being shepherded. You're being shepherded. You are not neutral ground. You are not a blank slate. You're not self-directed. Someone is giving you direction, and you are listening and following someone or something. I think there are probably more. There are at least four false shepherds who are speaking into your life right now. Let's look again at the scripture. Verse 12, chapter 10, verse 12. The hired hand, here's a realization. There's someone who is shepherding you in place of the good shepherd. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and he does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. And the man runs away because he's only a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. The first false shepherd I want you to be aware of in your life is the false shepherd of success. The false shepherd of success. If I can just get here to this next place, I will be okay. There's a lie that achievement is the answer to our soul's unsettledness. And we can put it in, terms of relationship. If I had this person by my side, or if I got rid of this person by my side, I could make it further. We can do it in terms of career. If they would only recognize me and promote me to the next level, if I could only close three more sales, I would get to that point. Or it even could be simply a place of control. That's a type of achievement. You feel like you get to a place where nobody tells you where to be and what to do. And you're sort of the master. You convince yourself that you can be the master of your own future. Let me tell you this, Paul writes, godliness with contentment is great gain. Friends, contentment in Jesus is the antidote to this false shepherd. And if you can't speak to what contentment would be in your life, this is not like not having desires or not having goals, but if you can't identify contentment, friends, you're going to paddle and paddle and paddle and paddle, and there's never going to be an end in sight. You're never going to be finished. You're never going to be promoted high enough. You're never going to sell enough, make enough money. There's never going to be enough for you if achievement, if success is your shepherd. Now hear that again. Success will pretend to be a shepherd. Success will pretend to offer you what you need, but as soon as you get there, it'll be just that much more out of reach. And that's how we know that achievement is a false shepherd. On the other side of that, so that's one ditch on this side. On the other side, it's comfort. On the other side, it's comfort. It's the pursuit of a life of ease. Don't we want comfort to be our shepherd? Don't we want to avoid the hard things and do just what feels good in the moment? There are times we just want to veg out. There are times we just want to unplug. There's times we just want to numb and be distracted. And for some of us, it's one more drink. And for some of us, it's play one more episode. Let's be honest. Have you ever gotten to Netflix and it says, "Are you still watching?" You laugh because you know what I'm talking about, and I know what I'm talking about. So we'll indict ourselves together. Play one more episode. Take one more drink. Take one more pill. And y'all, you'll wake up the next day and it'll seem like, oh, I got over that hump. I got through that slump. But what you don't realize is that when you continually choose to numb, when you continually choose to give in to distraction or to entertainment, you are losing your soul so very slowly. So very slowly. One drop. One drop. One drop. And soon your tank will be empty. Because that's a false shepherd. The false shepherd of comfort tells you there'll always be time to get this fixed. There'll always be time to get back on track. And you'll wake up one morning and the time will be gone. And you're so far in the cul-de-sac that you can't find a way back. The false shepherd of comfort. What about the false shepherd of culture? The false shepherd, and I'll put this all together, the false shepherd of culture and politics that generates outrage. Isn't that where we live right now? That voice that says, if we just win on this issue, then everything will be great. If we just get this election or this judge appointed, and we let that burn outrage against us, and we're no longer defined by what we're for or who we believe in. All we know is who we're against. And friends, if you can be clear about what you're against than what you're for, I want to tell you, you are in danger of being shepherded by this false shepherd of outrage. Because we follow a shepherd who don't want to let us be shaped by what we hate or by who we hate. And y'all, let me just speak. This is why forgiveness is the antidote. I'm giving away the end before the beginning. Forgiveness is the antidote to being shepherded by outrage. When you can continue to, and you may have to, today and tomorrow, you may have to articulate in your heart forgiveness for the same person or for the same complex of circumstances. You may have to visit that over and over and over again until it gets from your heart to your head and your head to your heart. Let me tell you this about forgiveness. Forgiveness has to start in the head. If I ever waited to forgive someone until I felt like forgiving, I probably never would. Because that bitterness, that hatred, that outrage would continue to grow. So let's start in the head. This is something that has to start in the head. And when you revisit it and forgive and forgive and forgive gradually by the mercy of God, He'll bring it down into your heart. And you'll both know it's true and you'll feel it's true. Because you do not want to be shepherded by outrage and be shaped by what you hate. I think the fourth false shepherd is the shepherd of autonomy. The shepherd of the individual self. I can decide what is true and I will lead my own life. We hear people say this. Here is my truth. Not what is the truth, but here is my truth. And we attempt to focus the location of all authority in our own sense of understanding or our own sense of feeling or our own sense of rights or our own personal identity. And if we do that, friends, if we try to make ourselves our own shepherds, then we end up carrying a burden that we were never created to carry. Because we're created, friends, remember this, God created us not to be separate from Him, but to be in relationship with Him, reflecting not our will, but His will in the world. And you may be thinking, I don't think these things are shaping me. I'm a Christian. I don't think these things are shaping me. Let me offer you this modern psalm, if you will. John Tyson, Church of the City, New York. The algorithm is my shepherd. I shall always want. It makes me doom scroll through digital pastures. It leads me beside the rapids of engagement. It activates my anxiety. It guides me along the paths of monetization for its profit's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of comparison, I will fear missing out. For you are always tracking me. Your notifications and your ads, they compel me. You prepare a curated feed before me in the presence of those I envy. You fill my head with validation. My anxiety overfloweth. Surely dissatisfaction and envy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in your data analytics pool forever. That's not just satire. It's the reality of formation. It's the reality of formation. That is a shepherd. That is a kind of shepherd. It will tell you what matters in life. It will tell you what to desire and what to flee from. It'll tell you what to fear and who to hate. It will even tell you who you are. And the reality, the terrifying reality, like the hired hand, is it will never die for you. But it will invite you again and again to offer yourself for it. The algorithm doesn't replace false shepherds. It simply feeds them. It feeds the false shepherds. It fuels your achievement. See, look at their success. It tries to deepen your comfort and help you escape into distraction. It amplifies your outrage. See, these are the people you knew you were supposed to hate. And it reinforces the self. You define your own truth. It is not neutral. It is forming you, and it is shepherding you. And if you don't choose a shepherd, let me say this clearly, if you don't choose a shepherd will be chosen for you. If you don't choose a shepherd, one will be chosen for you. Jesus says, the hired hand runs away, and the thief... Y'all, this is the verse before. Here's what another shepherd does. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Every one of these shepherds will abandon you when it matters the most. Why do we need a shepherd? Why do I need a shepherd? Why do you need a shepherd? Because we are like sheep. Now, we don't have enough firsthand experience, most of us, with sheep in the 21st century in the Southeast U.S. But here are four things quickly about sheep that we need to know. One, sheep can easily be lost. Isaiah said it in chapter 53 of the Old Testament prophecy. Isaiah said, we are all like sheep who what? Who drift away. We get lost easily. We don't naturally drift toward life. We don't naturally drift toward hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd. We naturally drift in our own direction and become lost. Like sheep, we are easily lost. Like sheep, we are defenseless. Think about, you know what a sheep looks like. When you think of sheep, you think cuddly. There's a reason, because a sheep doesn't have fangs. It doesn't have claws. It doesn't have what would appear to be the necessary equipment to fight back. A sheep is defenseless. Friends, you may be strong in your own strength, but you are not as strong as all the things the evil one will send against you. So you need a shepherd to provide for your defense. You're easily lost. You're defenseless like sheep. We are stubborn. I'll say we because I don't know. Is that just me? Sheep don't have a reverse gear. Once sheep start in one direction, they're going to just dig in. And the shepherd has to come in and kind of bonk them or wrap around with that pastoral staff and physically turn them in another direction. Sheep will double down on this direction even when they know it's the wrong direction. I'm convicting myself when I'm preaching. Sheep are lost easily. Sheep are defenseless and stubborn. Sheep are filthy. Sheep don't clean themselves, and they don't have a natural instinct to go into the water and clean themselves off. It takes a shepherd to cleanse them. Friends, that's the truth about us. We cannot fix what is broken about ourselves by ourselves. And that's not an insult. It's simply reality. It is physical reality and spiritual reality. And if you reject becoming a sheep in submitting to the Good Shepherd, you don't become free, you just become vulnerable. If you reject identifying yourself as a sheep, you don't become free, you simply become vulnerable. And I want to say this, Jesus cares about you because you are valuable to Him and because He knows you're vulnerable. But can I say this too? The false shepherds, they also know you're valuable and you're vulnerable. And that's why the false shepherd is going to come for you. Because Jesus, the good shepherd, He's going to come for you, like to help you, to get on your side. The bad shepherds, they're going to come for you, to get you. Jesus comes to give you life. They're going to come to take your life. Jesus. What makes Jesus different? What makes Jesus different? Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Maybe that's basic. Maybe you know that. Jesus dies for you. This is not abstract. It's not, Jesus doesn't embody the concept of sacrifice. Jesus actually lives sacrifice. Jesus dies for you. Jesus doesn't use you. Jesus doesn't come alongside just to improve you. He lays down His own life. Every other shepherd will eventually take from you. But Jesus is the only one who has already given everything. The only one who has already given everything for you. You were already being shepherded. Remember, you were already being shepherded by something. And if it's not Jesus, it will cost you more than you ever think. Jesus is giving His life to give you life. That's what sets Him apart from every other shepherd. Jesus dies for you. Jesus also knows you. You know, in the world of modern data analytics, that there's a lot of information about you based on your habits and your purchases and your search history and all of this. There is a lot of information about you, but no one knows you like Jesus knows you. I am the good shepherd. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. He doesn't simply know your performance. He doesn't simply know your track record. He doesn't simply know your profile. He doesn't know that version of yourself that you put out for everyone else to see. He doesn't just know the smiles. He knows you. The good shepherd knows you. He knows the you that you try to hide from other people, and that you even try to hide from yourself. He knows your sin. He knows your fear. He knows your story. And you know what? He doesn't run away from it. He knows you, and he draws close to you. Jesus dies for you, he knows you, and he does not run away. That's what the hired hand does. When the wolf comes, and when failure and suffering come, and when grief comes, and when death comes, when every other voice flees and disappears, Jesus steps toward the problem, and Jesus steps toward you, because he is the good shepherd. Mr. Rogers used to say this about children in times of crisis or in times of disaster. Because, you know, Mr. Rogers would always speak very plainly. He wouldn't dance around difficult subjects in his conversations with children. He said, when you're afraid, when there's a time of disaster or a crisis, children, when you're afraid, look for the helpers. That's what Mr. Rogers would say. Look for the people who run toward the problem. And he meant the first responders, the EMT, the police, the firemen. Look for the people who run to the problem. And that brings you peace in the midst of chaos. This is true about Jesus. In the time of trial, in the time when you think everyone else would abandon you, Jesus does not abandon you. He steps toward you. Because number one, remember back to number two, he already knows what's happening. So you've not surprised him in any way. And because he's willing to die for you, that proves his love. Paul wrote that. This proves God's love for us, that he would give himself on the cross. The good shepherd steps toward you, and he walks with you, and he doesn't run away from you, especially in times of trouble. So this passage, this story, Jesus, I am the good shepherd, this is not simply an invitation to find comfort in Jesus. It's an invitation to be a disciple. A disciple is someone who, not just someone who agrees with Jesus. Yes, Jesus, you are the good shepherd. A disciple is someone who will reorder his or her life around the voice of the good shepherd. Remember, you're already being shepherded by something. If it's not Jesus, it will cost you more than you ever imagined. There are at least three marks. In this scripture passage, there are at least three marks. At least three marks of the disciple who is learning to be shepherded by the voice of Jesus. Number one, they're willing to hear his voice. They're willing to hear his voice. The disciple of Jesus chooses the voice of God, the voice of Scripture, over all the distracting voices in the world. The disciple chooses to hear his voice, the voice of Scripture, the voice of God, over every other noise in the world. And if that voice is not the shaping voice in your life, then be alert, because something else is shepherding you. Something else is shaping you. The disciple hears his voice. Remember, Jesus knows the sheep, Jesus knows the disciple, and the disciple, the sheep, knows the shepherd. You know the shepherd by your familiarity with his voice. First mark of the disciple, they hear the voice of the shepherd. Second mark of the disciple, they obey even when it's costly. They obey even when it is costly. Because following Jesus, hearing the voice, and this is why some people hear for a little bit and then decide, no, I don't want any more of that. Because the voice of Jesus will contradict your instincts. It will contradict the voices of those false shepherds to whom you've become accustomed. And the voice of Jesus will cost you dramatically. And you obey the voice. The disciple, the sheep, obeys the voice even when it is costly. Number three, the shepherd, the disciple, y'all, gosh, you weren't supposed to come up this quick. They came up right when I told them. Okay, just so say. Number three, the disciple, the sheep, stays with the flock. The disciple stays with the flock. You cannot follow the shepherd while avoiding his people. And you don't accidentally become a disciple of Jesus. You become a disciple by deciding again and again and again and again whose voice will win. Whose voice will win? Your voice, their voice, God's voice. Jesus says, as I wrap up and conclude, I don't have my clock showing this morning, that's why I'm relying. Jesus says, I have other sheep, verse 16. I have other sheep that are not of this pen, and I must bring them also. Y'all, 3 years ago, happy birthday, church. Happy birthday to those of you who were here on day one. Happy birthday for whom today is day one. Happy birthday. 3 years ago, this church started. We started with a simple conviction. We started with the conviction that Jesus' words are reliable and that Jesus is still calling people who are not yet here. His voice is clear, his heart is always good, and his work is not complete. And that's what it means for us today. There are people in Savannah. There are people in Savannah who do not belong to him yet. They belong to him, but they're not in the fold. They're not in the pen. They're not here yet. And we know that this church or any church is not the only destination, but it is a place, and we want this to be a place where people can learn to hear his voice. So the question is never, do you like church or do you like this church? The question is, are you helping people hear the voice of the shepherd? Are you helping people find and hear the voice of the shepherd? Y'all, you don't get to decide whether you are shepherded or not. But you do get to decide who is shepherding you. And whatever voice you trust when life gets hard, whatever voice you trust when life gets hard, that is your shepherd. So when you're stressed, not when you're at church, and you love the song, and the AC's right, and the blinds are keeping the sun out of your eyes, don't worry, more blinds are coming. Okay, I promise. It's happening. I promise. But really, y'all, it's when you're stressed, or it's when you're discouraged, or it's when you're tired. What voice do you actually follow in those moments? That will reveal who your shepherd is. That's your shepherd. Three challenges, three ways to follow the good shepherd this week. Number one, if you know there's a false shepherd speaking into your voice, take a step to silence that voice this week. Delete the app from your phone. Turn off the notifications. Call your cable company and have them block the news channel. Yeah, that one. Stop the cycle. Get off the merry-go-round. Go cold turkey. Because if the outrage or the algorithm or something else is discipling you more than Jesus is discipling you, then don't be surprised when you land where you're going to land. Silence the false shepherd. Number two, tune your ear to hear the voice of Jesus. You can't follow a voice you never listen to. Pick up your Bible, John chapter 10. Great stuff. I only began to scratch the surface of John 10. Read John 10 every day this week and ask the good shepherd to begin his shepherding you. Ask him one question. What are you saying to me today? How can I trust you today? Silence a false shepherd. Tune your ear to Jesus and then take one act of obedience. Not 10. There's not 10 things, just one thing. Forgive someone where your heart's been hard. Serve someone or somewhere that you've been avoiding. Make a gift. Give something that is costly to you, because following the shepherd is not a feeling. It's a decision we act upon again and again and again. This is not just about what we do at Good Shepherd Savannah or finding your place, but he wants you to become the kind of person that you are a shepherd under the good shepherd, where you are helping other people find and follow the voice of the shepherd. This week, you will hear many voices, but only one of those voices laid down his life for you. Follow that shepherd. Let's pray together. Gracious God, give our hearts no rest until our hearts find their rest in you. Give our ears no peace unless and until we are listening to you. Give our eyes no satisfaction until our eyes are fully focused on the vision of goodness toward which you are shepherding us today. Lord, give us your voice. Give us the grace of your Holy Spirit to submit ourselves to you. Shepherd us, kind Father. Shepherd us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, the third birthday of Good Shepherd would be a great time. If you haven't made a decision to sign the covenant membership form and make Good Shepherd your real church home, I'll be out front. I'll have some of those. Our prayer partners will be up here if you want to come after church, if God's speaking to you, if His shepherding voice is leading you, either to place your faith in Him and initiate a journey of being shepherded, or to take the next step of obedience. Our prayer partners are here for you this morning.